Friends, today is an important episode. We are going to explore the pitfalls of toxic positivity and how the pressure to stay positive can harm our mental health and strain our relationships. Today, you're going to learn exactly how to identify toxic positivity in yourself and others, and find out how to embrace those authentic emotions that cultivate real and genuine happiness. When we challenge that culture of good vibes only, we can create a more resilient family that fosters true connection and personal growth, which will lead us to a more fulfilling and purpose-driven life. See you inside, my friends. Hey, parents. Welcome to Fulfillment Therapy. Do you want to raise your kids better and have a stronger marriage? Are you up late at night researching marriage and parenting tools and self-care tips? Do you start each day hoping for deeper connections and less chaos, but it ends with family arguments and going 12 different directions again? My name's Kendra, wife, mom, therapist, and growth enthusiast. It wasn't until I discovered how to fulfill my unmet needs that I was finally able to show up as my best self, as a spouse and parent. I realized that by meeting my needs, I could more fully meet the needs of my family with more energy and less resentment. In this podcast, I teach parents skills like boundary setting, prioritizing personal needs, communication, and claiming ownership. Just like my clients, you'll be shocked by the improvement in your marriage, parenting, and personal life when you focus on fulfilling your important, unmet needs. Ready to prioritize yourself so you can quit mentally throat-punching people? Then grab those earbuds and head outside, and let's rock and talk. Welcome back, my friends, to episode number 105, The Positivity Myth, How It's Holding You and Your Family Back. Like I talked about in the beginning of this episode, today we are finally talking about toxic positivity. I've mentioned this in a few episodes and I've shared these things briefly, but I want to tell you again about how I came across this topic. I don't remember the exact specifics, but I remember hearing this word and the first time I had this like visceral response. And I'm pretty sure I even rolled my eyes because I thought this was just pop culture stupidity. Or I think I've mentioned before, it was something the cynics talked about, the cynics created so they can feel better about themselves. Like I really did feel that way. So I didn't even allow myself to go look into it more. And I have to admit, I think that fear is there a little bit. Like maybe some of you will skip over this episode because you're like, I do not want to hear pop culture jargon about how positivity is a bad thing. And sadly, the ones that might skip it are probably the ones that need it most. So I am relying on you, my fantastic audience, to send this to people to talk about this and get the word out more because I am repentant here. I recognize that I had a bad attitude. And now that I understand it better, I'm able to teach it to so many of my clients. I would say almost all of them I've brought this up to in the last few months because there's not this awareness about what it is and what it does to us. And I really want to change that now that I understand what it is and why it's so important. I had a major paradigm shift when I explored this, and I know that you're going to as well. But before we jump in, I just want to quickly mention Costa Rica. I know I've talked to this a lot. Things are wrapping up, and I would like to say I could give you an exact number, but with anything, those numbers go up and they go down based on people's summer plans changing and all those things. So we might be full right now. We might need several people. I don't know. So the best thing you can do is reach out to me. As of right now, all women have signed up. So it looks like it's going to be more of a women's retreat instead. So sign up and join us on our amazing adventure and personal growth retreat. That happens June 16th through the 22nd of this year. If you go to fulfillmenttherapy.org/retreat, you can find out all of the things that are included in there. And put in the code SAVE500 at checkout and you will get $500 off. It is going to be incredible. You do not want to miss it. All right, let's hop back into toxic positivity. This is something I'm really excited to talk about today. Like I said, surprisingly enough, I did not think I would love to talk about this, but I am very excited. So let's start with the definition. What is toxic positivity? So this is the tendency to excessively focus on positive thinking and those positive emotions while invalidating or dismissing negative feelings and experiences. So what does that mean? Well, toxic positivity can hinder emotional growth and suppress those genuine emotions. And in doing so, that creates unrealistic expectations. You know as well as I do that all of our feelings are important. And if we live a life where we are constantly suppressing them and invalidating them, you can probably imagine what will happen over time, which I'll go into in just a minute. So how do we identify toxic positivity in our life, maybe in our family culture? I'll give you a few signs and symptoms to see if maybe this is happening in your home. Do you ignore or minimize negative emotions? Is there pressure to always be happy? Is there this invalidation of other people's struggles, this minimizing of it? Is there a fear of expressing vulnerability? Have your kids ever told you that it doesn't really feel safe, maybe not in quite those words, to share things because they're afraid they'll be made fun of or that they're afraid that you'll turn it into something like, well, at least you're not like Aunt Sarah, or at least we don't live like these people, or at least you don't have a broken arm, or something like that. That's one way it shows up. Let me give you some other real life examples, because it wasn't until I started to see this pattern in my clients that I started to see it in my own home. It happens to all of us, the best of us. This is not generally intentional. Maybe you find yourself saying, you're okay. Like maybe when your child gets hurt, like you're fine, you're okay. It's no big deal. Brush it off, stand up, you're good. Now, when people say this, it's not meant to be unkind. And yet the message here is what? That what you're experiencing is not valid. That it is not safe to feel your feelings. Here's another one. We are so blessed. We haven't lived like our ancestors. We haven't lived like people in the past. We have vaccinations. We have medical care. We have all of these things. And while that is true, what about if your family is in the middle of a major heartache or challenge in your life and you keep going back to that? It's almost like this recording on repeat that's like, what you're experiencing isn't valid. Other people have it harder. Other people have it worse. Stop complaining. You don't appreciate things. You're not good enough. Do you see that internal message that that might create when you're so quick to follow up with, but we're so blessed, but we're fine, but we have it better than others. I should be grateful. I should be thankful. I shouldn't be so faithless. You know what I mean? Like there's both sides to that coin. Another thing I hear with clients and that I've even experienced in my own home is sometimes you're so lucky that you have food in your pantry and food in the fridge. You're so lucky that you have these clothes. You're so lucky that you have these extracurricular privileges. We love to do this, especially with teens. We often comment on how privileged they are with their tech and all these conveniences, that the message they get is not, oh, wow, we have a fantastic life. It's instead, stop complaining. Stop having any negative thoughts because you have it so good and you're just ungrateful. Do these things make sense? I'm not saying that the positivity is wrong. I'm saying that the order is inappropriate. I'll go into that a little bit more, but I will briefly explain that. This is one example I gave just recently to a client, and I share renditions of this with other clients. But say your child comes home and they've been bullied at school. Well, if you were just to be like, oh, maybe that student was having a hard day, or you're lucky that more didn't happen, or, well, it's over now and and then maybe you'll distract them. Or a lot worse things used to happen when I grew up. All of those things are levels of invalidation. Now let's compare that to this. Say that child comes home and they tell you about their experience, and instead, you lovingly comfort them. You are attuned to their feelings, even those negative, especially those negative feelings. And instead of rushing them through that process right to positivity, you sit with them in that empathy. You comfort them. You're tender. You're compassionate. You don't judge them for feeling their spectrum of feelings, but you just sit with them in that space with love and tenderness. And you say simple things like, I'm so sorry you had to go through this. That sounds like it was really hard. I could understand why you'd be afraid or nervous. I can see why you'd feel so sad. Any of that validating language. And what that does is it allows your child to feel all of their feelings without shame, without trying to cover them up and repress them and smash them down and invalidate them. So again, here, the message is when you respond the other way with, oh, you're fine, oh, it's over now, or worse things happened to me, whatever it might be that invalidates them. That message is that their experience isn't as valid as other people's. And shame follows when anything except positive feelings are experienced by that child after that. So they feel bad. And this creates a pattern that continues on into the future and doesn't change until they address it and heal from it. All right, so I gave you some examples. Let me go a little bit more into it. Let's talk about the negative consequences of toxic positivity. There's increased stress. There's feelings of inadequacy. There's difficulty processing emotions. There's strained relationships, and there's a lack of authenticity. Do you wonder sometimes if you're being fake, if you struggle being the real you because you don't think it will be acceptable? Then you may have grown up in a culture with toxic positivity. And I must say, most people don't know about this, so it's not that they're doing this purposefully. It's not that they are consciously trying to harm their family. Of course not. So this might seem harmless, but it can deeply invalidate genuine emotions, hindering true connection and personal growth. What happens when we suppress negative emotions? Well, it doesn't make them disappear. It only buries those feelings deeper, leading to unresolved conflicts and emotional distress later in life. And that's exactly what I've been seeing in all of my clients to some degree or another. Obviously, certain cultures have it worse, but I think at the moment, many of my clients are very religious, and this is something I see in more religious cultures because there is that good intention, very much so, of having that culture of positivity, but it can go the other way to invalidating and harming. All right, so now you know a little bit of what it is and how to recognize it, but how do you heal from it? A lot of clients ask me that. Well, what do I do now that I know this? Well, there is hope, don't you worry. First off is to recognize the need for balance. Are you embracing both the positive and negative emotions as part of the human experience? And I get a lot of clients that say, well, of course I do. I let my kids feel their feelings. Well, I say that too, my friends. But I also find myself when I'm frustrated and my kids are being loud and they've been fighting a lot, I find myself saying things like, if you're going to be grumpy, go to your room. I find myself trying to shut down those negative feelings that are too big for our home sometimes, it feels like, or for where I am currently. Like, I don't have the bandwidth to deal with it. So something I could say instead is, buddy, I recognize that maybe you've had a hard day and it's long and you're feeling frustrated right now. It's hard for you to be patient with your brother or sister. I understand that. We all have days like that, and I'm sorry you're experiencing that. Buddy, I don't want to react to you when you're having a hard time, and I want you to be able to feel those things. Are you okay sitting in the living room for a while, maybe with your blanket, until we can talk about this a little later when I feel more patient and I can help you a little more while mom's finishing dinner? or something like that. It doesn't always work. I recognize that if they're very escalated, but, or maybe instead of all of those words, you just simply hug them. You simply give them some time to feel. Let go of your dinner plans and your schedule or everything, just for even just 2 minutes of just cuddling them and holding them and letting them feel that. And then gently explaining, it's okay if you sit right here and you just recover a little bit and feel your feelings. That's totally okay. Mom's going to go to the kitchen for a little bit and I'll be back to check on you in a little bit, okay? Just something like that. There's still space for you to have a life and for you to be human. And they know that it is safe to feel positive and negative things in the home. Another important step to healing from toxic positivity is practicing self-compassion. I feel like almost every episode goes back to this as well. But this is where you allow yourself to feel and process emotions without judgment and without criticism. This is a tall order and it is not easy. This starts by acknowledging that it's okay not to be okay, my friends. That's okay. Give yourself permission to feel and express your emotions, and express your emotions authentically. I feel like this is really when I started to make headway in my marriage, is when I felt like I could do those things instead of be this certain way and take that pressure off of what I thought was supposed to be. True healing begins when we validate our own experience and especially extend that compassion to ourselves. It's often the hardest to do that to ourselves, right? We can recognize that all emotions have value and deserve acknowledgement. Now you might be wondering, how do I change my family culture if you see this, if you now recognize that this is happening in your home? Well, the first step is cultivating that open communication. Maybe sitting down at dinner and be like, hey, kids, family, I learned about toxic positivity tonight, and this is the definition, and these are things it does. Do you feel like that's something that's happened in our home? And you can start by being open and honest about how you've noticed it in the family and how you might have unknowingly perpetuated that. That is one thing you can do. That's a simple way to start. Another thing you can do is foster that resilience. So how do you do that? You teach them how to celebrate both the triumphs and setbacks, both of them, with that authenticity and that grace. So how you talk about your day and your life will model what is healthy for them. Do talk about both your triumphs and your setbacks with some self-compassion and that authenticity, with that vulnerability, with that open communication. This requires creating a safe space where everyone's feelings are acknowledged and respected. And remember, this brings deeper connections and that mutual understanding. This could be a whole nother episode, but creating a safe space for people to share their feelings is often very challenging for families. If it's a high conflict home or there's a lot of teasing, it likely does not feel safe for family members to share. So reflect on that. What does your home look like? When I was doing my research, I was also wondering how a growth mindset plays into this because I believe very much in a growth mindset and I really appreciate positivity. I love positive psychology, for example. Well, those things are not negated based on toxic positivity. It just means putting it in the right order. Embracing that growth mindset also means embracing that full spectrum of human emotions. Allowing those into your home so that there can be more growth and learning even in times of adversity. All right, last but not least, let's talk about how this ties into personal and family fulfillment, which is what I am all about in fulfillment therapy. When we embrace authenticity, this leads to deeper personal fulfillment and stronger family bonds. I know that we all want that. We want those genuine connections, and those genuine connections will allow us to have greater fulfillment and joy in our life. That's exactly how it happens, actually. When we embrace our true selves and support each other in that authenticity instead of shutting those things down, that is where families can thrive and individuals can reach their highest potential. So my friends, if you have noticed this stagnancy, if you've noticed some of these elements in your own life of toxic positivity, and you have that desire to change that culture, start small. Start with that conversation at dinner time. Start with catching yourself when you are trying to jump too quickly to positivity. And I will say, I didn't speak to that quite as much, but it's an order thing. Whenever you go too quickly to positivity, it's often invalidating. It's often because there's something within you that is afraid of those negative emotions and feeling your feelings. But if we allow for those feelings and that empathy and that comfort, then after they have processed those things, it is natural and normal and often very appropriate to go into positivity. But allow for their timing and not your timing. That's very crucial. All right, my friends, I don't want to give you too much more information, just those bite-sized pieces to help you sit in it and marinate and think on it. If you're like me, you're probably going to need to come back to this and re-listen or take some notes. And I will put these things in the show notes so you can access them at any time, maybe right before dinner, before you have that conversation. I hope this was helpful and that you were able to have that paradigm shift yourself so that you can change the culture and create a home that is safe and secure. Best of luck, my friends, in this journey to create a healthier, happier, and more fulfilled family culture. I'll see you next time, my friends. Hey friends, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, chances are someone else would too. Would you take 30 seconds to share this with a friend who's looking for greater family fulfillment? And while you're sharing, tell me what you think about the show by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. It refuels me when I hear this podcast is helping you, no matter what your house or your hair looks like. I'll meet you back here every Monday and Thursday morning for more episodes. Until then.